Well, maybe my task has been made easy because Michael Jensen has just shared with you the very message I was going to share with you. So maybe what I will do is like to encourage you in some of the applications that I have today. So what I will do, I will talk about Simeon and Anna, and also, but in the process, I want to give you the context, how we came to talk about Anna, why there are passage, why there are these verses that talks about the purification and the circumcision of Jesus Christ. We read in verses 21 to 24 of chapter 2, on the eighth day, Jesus, when it was time to circumcise Jesus, they named him Jesus. So you see again, so that we don't miss the point that the person who has been born is Jesus, and the focus is on the salvation that the people were waiting for. And so the name Jesus means Savior. They could have said any other name. Jesus, we know him with a lot of titles. But here the emphasis is for salvation of a people who were living in darkness. People who living in darkness have seen great light. That is the promise. They said he will make him a light to the Gentiles, to the nations. You read that in Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 49. And so we read that Jesus, as he comes as the light of the world. And he is coming first to his own people who were in darkness for 400 years, isn't it? There is no revelations, there is no consolations, no word of God, no prophecies. You see, people were just relying on the promises that have been given already. There were no activities like you have read of those days when there were these great prophets that were preaching fresh words from God, where there were words of judgments or even word of encouragement, where they saw God's hands and moving, delivering them from their enemies. You see, but now there's nothing like that. And you see, only a few who were holding to the promises of God. And so there has to be a mention of the circumcision of Jesus here, and then the name again is stressed. Not only that, Jesus also had to go through all these promises or this process of the Old Testament, such as circumcision and also presentation in the temple. You see, so that Jesus coming from the Jews, you know, Jesus will have a lot of trouble later on with the Jews. They will try to say, "Here you are, not one of us. You are a stranger. You come from another part of the world." But Jesus is saying, "I'm a descendant of Abraham." And so he has fulfilled all the righteousness. He lived as a Jew. So he was circumcised on the eighth day. And you see, the great men of God always, they were challenging their own people that we are part of you. But God is calling us to rely on him and to trust him and to follow him. Apostle Paul, great Apostle Paul, he said this. He said he was a Jew of the Jews. You see, from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. And he said, in relation to Jesus, he was saying, like, look, this Jesus is not a stranger. He is the one. He is the promised Messiah. And that is why these few four verses or five verses, they has to introduce to us who Jesus is, so that we don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus came to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament. And then he came to fulfill all of this. And so he had to go through all this. And later on, we will read that he has to fulfill all righteousness. So that he will say, if you were children of Abraham, you would have loved me. I'm a descendant of Abraham. So there is no single, my family and I, there is no single, single law and customs of the Jews that were there for God's people to mark them out of the other nations that we have overlooked. We have kept the law ourselves. We are the true keepers of the law. And now I am the fulfiller of these laws myself. They say, look at the scriptures and you think they are talking about everything. They are pointing all to me for your salvation. And so that we can't go anywhere. That is why Jesus is authentic. He's the only way. in this market where there are a lot of ways presented to us to salvation and to God. Because if Jesus is disconnected from the Old Testament, we would be worshiping another God, isn't it? But we are worshiping the God of the heaven and the earth, the one who said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we have seen how this God who has promised Jesus in chapter 3. So it is very important that we have these parts. And these people, they say, they fulfill exactly every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. And so Jesus' parents, they offered a dove, two young pigeons, or two young pigeons, and we don't know which one they offered, you see. But obviously, they were very poor. They were very poor. Some people think like Christianity is for the rich people, isn't it? Maybe for the rich European. And even some of them today, they are stuck in that. They think like maybe they are the true custodians of the of Christianity. Well, that can be contested. You see, now the center of Christianity has shifted greatly to Asia and Africa. And we are to do a great work here, who of us who are here, to pray again that the gospel might ring again in the centers of the Reformation that have been transformed and turned into places of paganism and witchcraft and Satan and idol worship. Money becomes the center of everything. There's no regard for the weak and the poor. And even people have, even their churches, sometimes you have only, maybe I hesitate always to say lucky. It's a word the Christian would always, but it's an English word actually. It doesn't mean a lot. You see, it just means that we are privileged to have a setting like this today, where we are from every tribe and tongue, isn't it? From Chinese, Southern Sudanese, Africans, from everywhere. So we can be comforted by this. But Jesus himself was living in a poor house. He was a carpenter, and that is why even in his ministry, he didn't acquire mansions. He didn't want to say that I'm rich, I want to be rich. Obviously, he could have the riches of the whole world, for all the riches of the whole world belongs to him. That is Jesus himself. He has that in his hand. He got the armies of the heavens with himself. When people were attacking him, he said, I would have called. You see, you saw that in Elijah, isn't it, with his young boy, when they were being sieged by the enemies, the army, isn't it? And the boy was panicking, and the great prophet was just at rest. And then he prayed and said, oh, Lord, just open the eyes of this boy, and he would see the armies of God that are for us. You see, that is what really we have been called into, to trust. And actually, the title of this sermon was Christ Worth Waiting For. It's worth waiting for God, for he comes and he fulfills his promises. And the text is just presented to us in such a way, now, that is verse 25. Now, there was a man. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. You see, this man has been described to us as a righteous man. He was a righteous and a devout man. So what is the meaning of righteousness? Well, it's just a big word, isn't it? But the gospel really presents righteousness in this way. Generally expresses conformity to God's will in all areas of life. Law of God, authorities in relation to authorities of government, covenant loyalty, integrity, ethically, the person living no fear of man or anything. Also, his deeds are pleasing to God. Work of mercy, merciful. He is not an angry person, so he is not tribalist like South Sudan, a tribal leader. people chanting always songs of war. Bravery is the issue there. If you are a strong man, you can just boast about how you can defeat anyone. You see, this man is not, it's not righteousness. He was not racist, obviously. And so he was righteous in that sense. He was righteous as a person that living for God. And you see, throughout the Old Testament, the believers who were trusting God, they were referred to as righteous. You see, you got that verse in Psalm 118, verse 15, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The company of believers, you see, righteous, they are called righteous. That is a title given to believers in the Old Testament. We are called maybe believers in the New Testament. So this man, he was waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. For other words, consolation is like comfort. So comfort or consolation is for someone who is really in trouble, who is really in need, isn't it? So these people were living in darkness. They needed a savior. They need to be set free. That is why Jesus was born, to save his people from their sin. You see? To give them faith in God. So this man was waiting when others were not waiting. This man in his heart, he was waiting for the promised Messiah. Because when this one comes, he will bring the light into their hearts. He will just illumine and open their eyes and will see God's salvation. And that is why, that is what he will confess. So this man, he was waiting. He was endowed with, he was saved, he was been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And no wonder why this man, he was waiting for the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit brings the knowledge of God. And it is only through the Holy Spirit that we will be able to know that this, what God, this word of God really is for me. What is saying, it will give you the certainty, the assurance. And that is the encouragement for us today, those who are waiting for the Lord. Maybe you are waiting for the Lord for something, you see. Because certainly this man, he was waiting for the coming of Christ. Because the Holy Spirit has revealed to him that in Christ, really God will gloriously manifest himself. God will become man and will live with you. You see, and now you will meet all the requirements of the covenant through Christ himself. And so the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that was what the Holy Spirit has revealed to him. That is a terrible thing to say. I mean, it's a hard thing to say, that the Holy Spirit upon someone, isn't it? I mean, something people would find so difficult to believe, that the Holy Spirit can be upon us. But what, that is what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit lives in the believers. Is that true? Or we are just called to have information about the New Testament and the Old Testament, and then we are Christians. That is not what the Bible says, isn't it? If you believe in Christ, you are born of God, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And that is what brings the union between you and Christ. And that is what brings the knowledge of God. That is why you can be certain of the promises of God. You see, through the Holy Spirit, he will press upon your heart. You see, the promise. So if I ask you today, what is your favorite verse? Because the verses, they don't become favorite to us just for no reference, for nothing, isn't it? Because when we read this word, the Holy Spirit will press upon our hearts that this is a promise for you, isn't it? And I'm going to fulfill it. What is your favorite verse as a Christian? I know a few people. Andrew Young. He was a professor of agriculture, and he was doing in soil science and in New Zealand. So this man, he led a retreat in 2008, maybe, from New Zealand, a pastor. He said, like, the Lord really recruited him for the ministry through this verse. The man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then he turned his back to what he was doing, God calling him to the ministry. That's the Holy Spirit. That was a promise given to him, and he became a servant of the gospel. How did I come to stand here today? Isaiah 62, For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not hold my peace. When I was reading this, the Holy Spirit put on my heart as if I was a prophet myself, isn't it? And then I knew that a necessity was laid on my neck to preach the gospel to you. What is your favorite verse today if you are truly a Christian? That you hold to, that establishes your relationship with Christ. When you read the word of God here, because this man, he was waiting for the consolation. How did he know that there is a one to come? He read the scriptures. And as he read this, and the Lord revealed to him, the Bible says, so it had been revealed to him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Just this is the word of God. Is the word of God precious to you? This is verse 26. He had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Some people, they can just decide that you die, isn't it? That is why we as Christians, we are against euthanasia, isn't it? Just imagine if that law was at work that time. People may, his relative may say, well, look, you have lived long enough, and now it's time for you to depart so that we can divide your wealth among ourselves. So the children can go to universities or can buy houses. It's not like that. He belongs to God, and there are promises that the Lord is going to fulfill for him as a witness to the entire nation. Because God will not leave himself without a witness. He will speak to the hearts of those he has touched. And this man, he was devout. He feared God. He conformed his life to worship God and to follow him. And God was pleased enough to reveal to him and to become a friend of God. So we need to develop this relationship with God. It is not enough you come to church or even do few services for people. We do value your service, but we are concerned for your soul. Most of all, or most importantly, some people have no churches, isn't it? You can worship under a tree and you still can have a great encounter with God, isn't it? You can have your Bible in your own room and you can have God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit like Simeon. And so the Holy Spirit revealed to him, can Holy Spirit speak to me? So if you say to someone, God told me, they will run away from you. Maybe they will write an article. They say, maybe you are a heretic. You see, because you are saying, claiming these things. Of course, we are to test things. But this man, from the description that the Holy Spirit gave us in the scriptures, we cannot disbelieve that. We have seen God at work in his life. We have seen God in his life. And so this man, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the restoration. It was not only for himself, but he was going to testify, as Anna will do shortly. And so maybe the Lord wants to do that. He wants to touch you so that you can be a blessing to others, so that you can confirm, you can be a witness to all that he is doing. We are called to be witnesses, isn't it? It's not only for the disciples, even we ourselves, of the goodness of God, of his faithfulness, that he fulfills his promises to his own people, isn't it? He said, I will look after you. You see, do not worry. So recently, I think all of us, we have a New Year resolution, isn't it? Have you sat before the Lord and asked him, how can I just go into the year? You see, what is the promise for me? Well, how can I walk into this year? I don't want to go the same thing, the same problem, the same issues. You see, the same struggles. You see, the Lord delivers, isn't it? These people will never be the same who have encountered Christ. You see, the light has dawned. And for a Christian, you are called to move from a degree of glory to another, isn't it? To grow with the Lord. To grow in the confidence in the character of God. And also in the salvation that has been given, granted to you freely. That is the emphasis. So when we wait on the Lord, he comes. So, maybe you have interest in what the Lord was laying on my heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you don't want to rejoice, the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul will say, and I say again, rejoice, isn't it? You see? Yeah, rejoice. Oh, how many are mourning? today just because of the situations we find ourselves in. Maybe physical ailment or troubles, or even some financial issues, or even some organizational struggles. You see, and so these things, they can give you a big burden, isn't it? But the Bible says here that we are not to be really crushed by all these things. Because God cares. That was what will follow. You see, in everything. You say, do not worry about everything. But in everything, with thanksgiving and praise. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. You need to take this seriously. Because the Holy Spirit wants to do this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident. Don't be just moved. Don't panic by the troubles you are facing. Be calm. Be gentle. The Lord is at work. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Anxious. You see, how many anxious people here today? We can do that. But we are called not to do that. And the Holy Spirit, when He says this, He got something for you, isn't it? God is able to do what He has promised. He said, when He said, do not be anxious, you see, He said, yes, according to your word. Peter says, according to your word, I will cast my net, isn't it? According to the words of the Lord. We can rejoice in the midst of troubles, isn't it? And our Lord Himself, He has demonstrated this to us. You see, while He was sleeping on the boat, and the disciples were panicking that they were dying, but when their life was not in their hands, our lives are in the hand of our Lord. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. One of the things recently I've realized is that we don't pray, actually. We don't ask God even to come into our own problems. So we run and we try to solve our own problems. But even I myself included in this, how easily we forget to bring all our troubles before the Lord and ask Him to deal with these things and pray. Even we don't even ask Him for blessings. We don't even ask Him like, Lord, just restructure my organization where I work for your glory. Or just do something that might build my confidence in you that I may trust you more and more. Give me a sign. Do this. These are legitimate. You live once only. Because the Bible says a man is destined to live once. Every opportunity you miss to have a true encounter with God is missed. So we are called to enjoy God. Even the things that you are waiting for, He can do them in a minute. And you see this man who was righteous. And then even as he was righteous and the Holy Spirit was in him. But at that particular time, when Jesus was presented at the temple, this man, the Bible says, he was moved at that time. The Lord is the Lord of times, isn't it? You are not outside the times of God. You are not beyond His reach. He knows the exact times. And then He moved this man just exactly, specifically, to go to the place where He will recognize the consolation of Israel, the restorer, the deliverer of God's people, Jesus Christ, our deliverer and our Lord. So the verse 27 says, moved by the Spirit, He went into the temple courts. Always you see like people being saved from troubles. So he is in one place and then suddenly they decide quickly to move from that place. And then disasters happens, isn't it? Or just change in government so their rules are changed. And so give way for you, really. You see? Migrations. I was going to go to USA in 95. My brothers in USA, they wanted me to go there. Just 2 months before I could decide to close the process completely, once and for all. Because God has something different for me to come to Australia. You see? So wherever we go, it is in God's hands. And this man moved at that particular by the Holy Spirit, which says, what is this saying to us? See, this man, as he desires to walk with God, God has provided for him. He has the Holy Spirit living in him, giving him the knowledge of God, even moving him to go to the same to the places where he will interact with God even further, isn't it? And so he got there and he moved to that place. And then now here we have, when he got there, the parents brought in the child, Jesus. You see, so the emphasis always, you see, Jesus. Because he is the at the center of all that is happening. You see, so the Holy Spirit moving him to Jesus. And as he got there, according to the customs required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. You see? So Simeon, he just recognized that. How do we recognize the things that are from God and the things that are not from him? You see? How do we do that? It's very difficult, isn't it? Well, the Holy Spirit reveals that to you. He will reveal this to you if you have learned to obey the Holy Spirit. He will be grieved. He will mourn in you if you want to go outside the will of God. The Holy Spirit will be quenched. As a child of God, you will have no freedom. You will have no joy to do what you want to do. You will have no success in that. Or success. No. And this calls to humility. This man obviously was a humble man. His heart was delighting in God. And maybe the call is for us to delight in God more than ever. And to read the Word of God more than ever. So that through these verses, the Word of God, we will have faith. And then we may find our cup of tea, what the Lord wants us to do at that particular time. And this man now, also, what I want to say is this man, he was living, he was all, isn't it? You see, how many Christians today, they desire to depart from this world. You see, because of the evil, they say, I've lived long enough, I've seen good things. Lord, that world is evil, I want to depart, you see. Well, the Lord has a time and for that. And rightly, you can desire that. Apostle Paul desired that. He said he wanted to go, to depart, but the Holy Spirit wants him to stay. So he was not fearful of death, this man. He knew he was going to die. And maybe there's something for us in this also. Are you fear? Do you fear death? Jesus has conquered death. You see? When he took Jesus on his arms, he praised God. And this is the attitude of all those who have come to encounter God. You see, Mary, Elizabeth, all these people, they praise God. You see, he's worthy of thanks and worship when he graciously revealed things that we don't deserve even to know, to know this revelation from God. And that is why this person is just, he's just gone into worship because he is encountering heavens here. He's encountering God. And he said, Sovereign Lord, acknowledging that God has all the power. He got all the times in his hands, all the events, and the hearts of the kings are like streams of waters in his hand. You see, so he just recognized this. And so to bring him into this time, to this place, and to encounter this the Savior, the promised child, the Messiah. And he said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. A godly man dying and in peace. You see, he is not afraid of death. And now he knew that this is his time. He has seen this. He has been at the mountaintop, isn't it? At the Mount Pisgah. He said there's nothing more to see for him. He has seen it with all of his hand, his eyes. And now in between his arms, the deliverer, not only of God's people in Israel, but the one who is going to be the Savior of the whole world. That the poor might have a place before God. And those who have been crushed by sins and devil and demons, they shall rise and give praises to God. And they can sing for praises for Christ. All glory to Christ. Because he was willing to take the form of man and come into this world and lived as a poor man. so that we may not crave after the things of this world, but may live like him. You see, so that we might share in the richness in heaven. So this man now, he has recognized this. And he said, dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Jesus is salvation, isn't it? So Christ is worth waiting for, isn't it? Because as you wait, eventually you will see what he has promised. So my encouragement to you today is, as you wait on the Lord, trust him with all of your heart. And as you trust him, let the Holy Spirit be your friend, because it's the only way that God can press his promises on your heart. And then you can have the voice of God in you and can be confident with this. That is why you are to handle yourself in such a way your body is fully to the Lord. Your intellects, all your wealth and everything, your relationship, your future, your children even are in the hand of God. God will save them, will put his Holy Spirit in them. You see, you trust God for the salvation of your children. God will protect them and pray against the things of Satan. And now he's just killing young children, young people, just like that. So this man, he has seen God. And he said, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. So you prepared for all people, that is what he's saying. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. They were the first people to encounter this, to benefit from this. And yet he is the savior of the world. Briefly, I want to talk to you again about this lady. I won't take much time. There was also a prophetess. So as Michael says, it's not only for men, but also for women. Because they are all created in the image of God. And how the scripture is full of righteous women who challenged men, Deborah or Deborah. You see, she led a mighty men of God. You see, she was a deliverer to her own people. The Spirit of God was upon her. See, yeah, God created all of us equally. And we are the body of Christ. And this woman also, he is a prophetess, a woman who delights in the word of God. She was a daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. You see, she was a widow, fulfilling the words of 1 Timothy 5:5, the true widow, a godly widow. You see, 1 Timothy 5:5. So this woman, she was only married for 7 years, and then her husband died. But she could seize that opportunity to dedicate her life to God. Carrying our age today, women, can women live also for God? Even at a young age like that, she was just only a young girl, married only for 7 years, and she was a widow for the rest of her life until she was 85. What a devotion to God. And this woman, she's going also to encounter this. And so what is the Holy Spirit saying here? He says, any time that you spend in delighting in God, it's not in vain. There is something special for you. For this is the reward for the righteous. Because the wicked can never receive anything from God. You see that in Psalm 1, isn't it? As you delight in the Lord, this is how you will end up. You die in peace. It will be revealed to you. There was a Sudanese lady one day back many years ago. She was old. She just called her family. She said, I'm departing, I'm dying. You go and dig my graveyard. Prepare it. But according to the culture there, you can't do that until the person dies. You see, they say, oh, we can't do that. They say, no. Last night, the Lord spoke to me about my departure from this world. You see? And a day later, she just gone to be with the Lord. And she was just, in those 2 days, she was worshiping the Lord. She was praising and she was singing. So this woman lived for God. She never left the temple. When the Bible says, the Bible does not exaggerate, isn't it? But never lie. It's a true word of God. You can't rely on that. You see, this word of God, when it says this, never leave like that. So is that like a day and night? No. Might not mean that, but you will see her always. She would be like the lady Mary Barnes. There was a man by name John Jasper. He was burying two people. You see, he was an American, African-American preacher back in the 1800s. And so two people were brought before him at a funeral. And one was a slave master, you see, who died, William Allison. And then this man, he said, oh, William Allison, he was not a good man. He didn't claim even to be a good man. You see, he died just like that. And so he's going nowhere. You see? So that is how he did it. And then he turned to Mary Barnes, and the writer said he is startled. You see, his face lit up. He said, Mary Barnes was different. Mary Barnes was washing the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see Mary Barnes in the prayer meetings. You see Mary Barnes attending the sick. You see Mary Barnes helping the poor. Mary Barnes walked the walk of faith. Goodbye, Mary. See, there is a death for a righteous person. And this woman now, who was worshiping God night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. She came up, she saw Jesus. And then the response was always giving thanks and praising. This is call to a worship. Your heart will just leap in worship and thanks for God. This woman, the Bible says, very moment as the Holy Spirit moved Simeon at that time, it's a God of times, isn't it? Will not delay. He will never delay when the time comes. So you can put all your trust in God, all the things you long for God to do. And I, in my prayers, if you were listening today earlier, our greatest need is not for mansions, it's not for the absence of sicknesses or pains or anything. So our greatest need is intimacy with Christ. That is our greatest need ever. Our intimacy, because in that, there will be joy unspeakable. There will be praise to God. And God will be pleased, the one who is able to touch your body and make you even new, like that man, Naaman of Assyrians, who came and was seeking healings in the land of God's people. And he was healed in his body. His flesh was like of a child. So our greatest need is to be like Simeon and Anna, to be devoted to our God and to trust his promises and to wait for his deliverance, whatever your need might be. The Lord is calling us in such a time like this to trust him and to trust in his promises and to establish again a wonderful relationship with the Word of God. It's so sweet. Certainly I need this. This woman, she just didn't think that, oh, it's an opportunity. Now my husband is dead. I can't find a man. And this time, maybe I will need a promotion. Maybe a richer man. Maybe with long hair. Maybe whatever. Maybe I didn't have a chance to choose rightly. Now maybe I have a chance. I'm still young. People are getting married in our days, up to 60 and even 70. But this woman, she didn't decide that. She could see that as an opportunity to serve God. Can we serve God? Can people even choose to serve God? Can you live a holy life as a single person waiting for the time of God in holiness? I always say to young people who are not married, who are waiting for the Lord to give them wives, you don't have to wait until you are 36 like I was. But definitely, it's not a waste of time. Like these times, when these people were waiting for the consolation, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God was speaking to them, isn't it? It's a time for God to speak to you, to use you. You see, now I have responsibility. Like my time is divided between my family and the ministry, isn't it? But when I was a single man, my whole time is just day and night, you see, devoted to evangelism. That was what I was doing in Egypt. You see? And I'm praying that I do it with my family as well. You see? So this woman, she was moved by the Holy Spirit. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemptions of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit in her, that confirmed that this is Christ. He's the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises. He is the one. And she went away is spreading the news. She is a preacher. I don't know why many commentators and theologians have never mentioned that this lady, she was the first evangelist. You can take that as my... I will be the authority in that area, isn't it? To be the first person to coin this phenomenon. You see, Anna, she's the first evangelist. You see? Maybe evangelist woman. A remarkable character. Now, in her own age, in all age, going around telling people that this is the Messiah. How many people who came to your life and was trying to witness to you that you need Jesus? You say, I know. Just simply, maybe they didn't look like you, or they were old like this woman, or uneducated, didn't look like educated, or not rich, poor, maybe. No, this lady, she was just confirming to all people she met that this is the one that you are looking for. Because obviously God has kept for himself a people who were waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is why this man, Simeon, he was looking for the consolations. Anna and others that are mentioned in this verse also were looking and waiting. So the Lord will always have his own people. My prayer is that you will be one of these people that will be waiting for God's works. And those who have the zeal to see God glorified, sanctified, and honored. May you take the courage to tell others that there is only one way. And how many of us we are caught up and so caught, totally defeated in seeing that Christ is the only need of the world. Can you see that Christ is worth waiting for? Promotions, even healing, blessings, being filled with the Holy Spirit, knowledge of God, good friends from God. Do you want to go to mission? God can change even the whole mission organization. My prayers the other day, I was saying, Lord, please speak to me, help me, because I will be going to mission next year. See, because the organization, they say to you, like, look, how is what you are going to do is going to bring souls to salvation. You don't know, isn't it? See, but all that you know is like you are looking forward to God's blessings and touching the lives of people to whom you speak. Like this woman, she was not discouraged. She knew that whatever she will say to these people who are longing, God will help them, will enable them to recognize that this is the one they are waiting for. You see, trust the Lord. Don't trust your methods and trust your own. But he is able to do this. But he will not do it with the proud. He will not do it with the skeptic. He will not do it with those who count the cost in terms negatively, in terms of like they are going to sacrifice more. You see, give you shall be given. Trust and you see the glory of God. Wait upon him and he will arrive. Hallelujah. So the 2025 is a year that we can challenge ourselves, that we are going to grow closer to Christ.